Because we're here more than just to grind and work and survive, right? We're here to create. We're here to express. We're here to... everybody has a creative talent that they're either not aware of or not sharing enough of. And when all of that is in alignment, mind, body, spirit, that's where you can be in the most optimal state of well-being. Athletes know this because when they play, they know how much of their mental is affecting their physical, right? And they know that if they are dealing with something that's not sitting well with them, they don't play well, you know? And so connecting all of that together, I think is the future in people's well-beings, especially now because we're so disconnected. We're so sitting behind computers and cell phones and technologically connected, but physically disconnected, spiritually disconnected. I think this conversation is going to be more needed going forward, where we connect with each other by, you know, connecting more within ourselves.
That's great, man. I mean, no, that's probably going to be clipped up for like some type of intro. because
what's up, everyone? Welcome to the Joe Lewin Podcast. That was a clip you just heard from Dr. Ernest Kim. He's today's special guest, and we had a fun conversation about bridging the gap between fitness and healthcare, and especially with trying to find some ways to weave in some of that mind, body, and spirit pieces as well. So we diving deep into some of our experiences in like the float tank, as well as cracking the code on just what it looks like to actually go about recovering and what some different tools and therapies people should be looking into. Okay, so with that being said, I know you guys are going to enjoy this conversation with Dr. Ernest Kim. He's the owner of Back on Point Wellness based out of Torrance, California. Okay, hope you guys enjoy. I'm really excited to have Dr. Ernest Kim on the podcast with me. Doc, are you doing like lots of podcasts right now? Is this something that you're adding into your whole mix on a regular basis?
A little bit. You know, I actually did one today. I'm not doing a lot, but I actually got invited to do one today. So yeah, I kind of like sharing, and if you know, what I say can brighten someone's day or you know, inspire somebody or talk about a new idea, I think I'd love to do that. So thank you for having me on today.
I think you're killing it on like social, man. I think more and more healthcare providers are trying to figure out how to kind of get exposure, get that awareness, and you've obviously decoded something that's working for you. I mean, I would have to say that it's difficult to build up a good reputation in healthcare without being a good practitioner. I mean, because I think you can only get but so far with it causing harm, right? If you're not doing at least quality work, people are going to not even gravitate towards you that much, unless you're paying for it. I guess that's one hack. But outside of that, you know, really, like, to be able to build it up the way you have on multiple platforms, I think is impressive. So let's kind of talk about it, man, because one of the things that we were just talking about right before I pressed record was, man, there's, like, gaps happening in, like, health, right? Like, there's a gap between medical. Then you have like fitness and wellness in these different corners of the world, but it's still serving the actual same person. So I would love to kind of get your actual thoughts on this whole like space and how we can kind of bridge them better.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's, when it comes to medical, right, you go to your medical doctor, and if it's not something that they can't operate on, they're going to give you two options, which is either here, take this medication for your inflammation, or go do PT, right? It just seems like there's only those two avenues. In our space, in the wellness space, there's more avenues than just that. PT being one of them, but self-care. And I just find that wellness and fitness are so similar. And, you know, I work out, right? I have my self-care routine. And but it seems like there's a gap between those two industries. You know, like I see influencers on social media that do workout, you know, show their workouts. And then there's, you know, people in the wellness space like myself, but we're not working together. And I feel like it's two worlds that complement each other. And I'm just so surprised to see that it's just the bridge isn't there.
Well, I mean, because you know what's crazy? So like many moons ago when I was 20 pounds lighter, I was a personal trainer. And so I started off in that world and I was a trainer for about 10 years, loved it. And, you know, I had multiple trainers that we were all working together. That's a tough business to do with trying to, you know, manage trainers. but either way, I mean, yeah, it was my thing back then. It was like, it's no brainer that fitness and medicine should be working together. Do you feel like it was, I felt like it was a challenge back then for me to kind of get to know people like yourself. Like, I'm not sure why. After I got out the space, it became easy. But when I was in it, it was kind of it was like a hurdle for me. Do you find trainers reaching out to you more often now these days, or is that
No, that's not happening enough. Thing. And I'm smiling because when you said that you're a personal trainer, I had no idea. It makes sense. You know, like you're in this wellness field and just all your knowledge and background, like to me it clicks. Of course this guy was a trainer, right? Because it just it's a world that that can coexist. And yeah, I don't have trainers reaching out to me. In fact, I'm reaching out to more trainers because for me, you know, once a patient gets better, for me, it's all about maintenance. How can you maintain on your own self-care so that you don't have to come see me all the time? I think in a perfect world, you would only have to come see me like for maintenance, like an oil change. You know, you like there's other models in, where people have to see their chiros and their medical specialists all the time, and that's just not my model. And part of my model is if you're taking care of yourself, you're doing your stretches, your self-care, and your fitness, right, there should be no reason. And so that's why lately I've been reaching out to more trainers to share this information and so that I can send my patients to them if they don't have their own workout plan, or it's like, hey, go train with this person a couple times and see if they can help you set up your own training program, right?
I think a lot of trainers are just intimidated. You know, I mean, like, because after being in the space for a while and helping manage other trainers to help build their businesses while I was building my own, like, it was something that even myself, and I had 9 other trainers that was working that were working with me, it, like, we were intimidated by it. It was okay to reach out to, like, a corporate wellness piece, but I think that more of the trainers kind of get the confidence to say, hey, we're on the same side of the fence here. I'm not sure why there's, like, this adversary, or maybe we don't want to touch the actual doctors. We don't want to reach out to the healthcare practitioners or the people that might be able to offer something that could help service their actual clients, because they might be losing out on some money or maybe some different, you know, time with the actual training. I think it's just bad thinking, honestly, just to kind of sum it up. But
that makes sense. I think because, like I said earlier, in the medical, typical kind of medical model where you see an MD, they'll never say go to a personal trainer. They'll send you to PT. Yes. And so maybe that's where the divide started, right? Where the trainers weren't getting any referrals from medical doctors or even maybe the respect, right? And so that's maybe they kind of, because of that gap, there's no reason for them to think other practitioners would, you know? and I think, but now that we're able to reach and connect with so many different people, and you're seeing even the personal training space becoming more mainstream and out there, I think now's a great time to bridge this gap where we can work together. Because, you know, I don't have, in my practice, my style, I don't really have the time to train somebody or to give them exercises and things. I can show them stuff when there's acute phase, when there's, you know, when they're in injury state. But when it's toward the maintenance and wellness phase, I'm like, I'd rather send them to somebody else. You know, go work with them because they're going to be more specialized in your care now. And that's where my goal has been lately. I've been, you know, if you look at my content, I've been working with, you know, lifters, power lifters, trainers. And I go to a gym right down the street. It's a UFC gym. And we actually go and do pop-up events at the gym. We'll go pull up at the gym, bring our tables, and offer services to the gym members. And then the trainers, you know, we train, we work with them, and we give them, you know, certain incentives. And they've been sending us patients. And then we send the patients back to them when they're better. So, yeah, we've been kind of working on that lately.
Dude, I think that's great, man. I mean, because honestly, you know, and the reason why I do this content too is because of reasons like that. It's really to help people understand that outside of insurance, and this is kind of I kind of pick and fights with the whole mainstream healthcare system. And not that it's all wrong, but there's just a lot of gaps that I think that we could fill as entrepreneurs, right? And in the best way I see us doing that is just working together more often. And finding ways that, you know, we can try to cross promote and really try to collaborate to where it's a win-win, you know. And so I think that's a great strategy, man. Great strategy.
You know, on the flip side of it, it's kind of interesting too, because, you know, I'm speaking from my end, my perspective, but when you flip it from a typical person at the gym who works out, a lot of them don't know that they can come to us for treatment. You know, if they have tendonitis because they're lifting too heavy, they don't know about chiropractic, they don't know about shockwave, they don't know about some of the ways that they could get better. They're going straight to their MDs. And that's why there's that gap. The gap, it has to be bridged both ways. And when it's bridged both ways, I feel like more people can benefit on both ends. And just this wellness, fitness field can thrive together.
Doc, you know, I'm really curious, man, because you're like a big basketball head from what I remember, right? You're like...
Yeah.
So Who's your squad right now, man?
Lakers.
I mean, how come nobody from LA is down with the Clippers? I mean, nobody respects the Clippers like LA. Like, you can always get Clipper tickets. Laker tickets, that's a whole different story.
A short period of time when their people are claiming to be, I was always a Clippers fan, you know, but I think that's kind of gone away again.
100%. It's definitely a wrap again, man. I mean, so I'm just curious, what's your actual workout and your home maintenance, like, workout plans like? How do you train? Do you kind of just play ball mainly, or are you doing that? Yeah, for yourself.
Oh, yeah, so my personal routine, ideally, I would be at the gym 3 to 4 times a week. I say ideally because, you know, sometimes I can't. And then I play basketball once a week. That's as much as my body can allow me right now, where I'm at. Once a week seems to be like the sweet spot. And then I try to fit in yoga once a week. So that's been kind of my personal way of staying active and staying fit.
That's fire. I mean, so Doc, I have to ask you, if you don't mind, how old are you, by the way? Because you look great, man. If you told me you were 21, I'm like, oh, yeah, you look a good-looking 21-year-old, but no, I'm just curious.
Come on, man. I'm 36. I'm going to be 37 in a couple months.
So, all right, me and you are about the same age. I got 2 years on you, and it's like, okay, right when we get to this old, like this later 30, like taking care of your body in the late 30s is definitely different than early 30s. I mean, I was able to go so much harder on my body. What's some common things, or maybe tips you might want to leave the audience with when it comes to just being able to maintain your body when you start to age up? And maybe not the like 60s, 70s, but people are like in our gap, which is kind of an interesting gap, I feel.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think that we're seeing for the first time in history athletes in our age, even up into the early mid-40s, still being able to compete at a high level. You're seeing LeBron, you're seeing Tom Brady. You know, you're seeing athletes where that was unheard of, right? Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is technology. Part of that is education, awareness, and recovery. So I think, you know, I don't like it when people say it's because I'm too old or I'm getting older. Yes, there is some truth to it, right? Father time, you can't beat father time. Father time's undefeated. But it's I give the analogy of a car. So when it's mileage, it's not necessarily age. It's how many miles you've put on. Because most likely you've started being active at a younger age, and then now by the time you're 40, 35, 40, you put in, you know, a good number of miles depending on how active you were and how strong or how much you trained, right? Versus someone who starts working out in their 30s or 40s, their body doesn't have quite the same wear and tear as somebody who started in their teens. So yes, there is, you know, age is a factor, but I think it's more of how much mileage you've put on. And so if you look at it from a car's perspective, when a car has more mileage, what do you need? You need more maintenance. You need more tune-ups. You need to take care of the car a little bit more frequently, a little bit more consistently. And if you do, the car can still run. The car can still function properly. So I think for, you know, people in that 30 to 40 age range, this is the time to really buckle down on your self-care recovery. You know, I have a lot of friends who I play basketball with. They get injured a lot or, you know, they don't stretch. There's no recovery. I'm like, guys, it's because you're not spending time to take care of your body. Because if you did, you'd be able to, you know, lengthen your career or lengthen how much you could play or even your shorten your recovery time period. So that's what I would say is you just got to be a little more on top of it, on top of the stretching and, you know, getting in for, you know, your adjustments, your massage, your acupuncture and things like that.
Man, 100%, man. And you know what's interesting? Like, I'm just curious too. Like, so if you got 10 guys on the court, how many people do you see doing like warm-ups or proper prehab? Do you see anybody doing that before they actually hit the court, or is it just like, all right, bust off the jersey, let's run it?
You know, like 2 or 3, right? But the funny thing is, when people see someone doing it, then they're more likely to do it. You know, right? You see someone do, oh, that looks like a good idea. Maybe I should stretch before the game. So yeah, right. In the beginning, it's like 1 or 2, and then more people start to realize, okay, yeah, maybe I should stretch. So then you see more guys doing it, but not enough. Like, everyone should be doing it. You know, it should almost be like a requirement. You know, before you play, we all got to warm up together, right? But no.
100%, man. I mean, to me, what I find interesting is that, you know, this space of like, you know, I guess you would call it like a recovery, biohacking even. I mean, for like some people, when they do this on like a daily activities, it's something that people are curious about. And you hear about these like Russell Wilson's almost spending like $1 million on a body. LeBron said it. Tom Brady has a whole facility, programs, brain training apps, all this stuff that they're doing. I mean, do you mind just kind of sharing some of those tools? Because I know that you're doing some of those things at your practice as well. Like, just because a lot of people might not even be aware of what they're doing when they say that they're making investment into their body.
Yeah, sure. There's so many different ways now. And again, that goes back to technology. Technology has allowed us to recover in many different ways. And so there's not one way that's good or right for you. You have to find what works best, right? For our office, we offer massage therapy, cupping, chiropractic, acupuncture. So we have athletes, we have people who are very active, who come in and maybe they'll get a massage once a month, or massage, you know, maybe every 2 weeks, and a chiropractic once a month. And then maybe they'll do cupping. You know, we had an Ironman. So this guy, one of our patients, he's an Ironman, right? He's, for those that don't know, they swim 1 or 2 miles in the race, bike 100 miles, and then they run a marathon, right? All in one day. That's what an Ironman does. So they're incredible athletes. Right. This guy is 47, I think, right? Oh. And he started training for Ironman in his mid-30s, right? And he's on top of his recovery. You know, he's got a good diet. He rests. Like, he's got his whole system. But every single year, he's improved on his time. Every single year into his mid-40s. And he just recently ran a race and qualified for Kona. To qualify for Kona, you have to be in the top 5 in your age category to qualify, right? So now he's going to go to Kona and compete with the best of the best in the world. And he's in his mid-40s. So that was so inspiring for me. He's been coming in to do massage once a week. After he trains, you know, he'll run like 20 miles, you know, in one day, and then come in and get his massage. You know what I mean? He doesn't see me as often because the massage is helping him. But on top of that, he does his own routine at home. He rolls on the foam roller. He stretches for, you know, however long. And he does all these things. Once again, recovery, right? So if you have that routine set, you can compete at a really high level. But let me talk about some other stuff. Some people do cryo. Some people do Normatec. Some people do float tanks. There's just so many different things out there now. Laser.
I'm big into the float tanks, too, man. Some of the things
that you offer as well, you know, Shockwave. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, me too. I've been doing float tanks lately, and, it's been pretty cool.
So I'm curious with the whole like, float tank experience for you, man, because I had some interesting... thoughts happened once I first started floating. But I mean, had you had any experiences while you float, or pretty much just kind of downtime and rest time?
I have. So I've done maybe about four of them. The very first one I did was like in this chamber. It was like this big room, and I couldn't feel the walls. And that one was a little scary for me because it was just too. I got disoriented, right? But then the ones I did after that was like a pod. It was like a little round pea pod, right, where I could touch the walls if I wanted to. So I knew, okay, there's the walls. But I would say after my second or third float is when I was really able to let go and relax. Mm. And I've had some insights. I've had some kind of like aha moments while I'm floating. Not like nothing like about my life necessarily, but about my health, about my body. I felt my entire physical, it's almost like every cell in my body just went, like, and just relaxed. And I'm like, wow, like, I need to do more of this. I need more moments where my body can just let go and relax from all the pressures of the world and just the constant stimulation and the sensory, you know, because float tanks are sensory deprivation, right? Whereas in the world, it's sensory stimulation. And yeah, in the last couple of times I've had those experiences that made me feel like, man, I need to do this more often. But I think so does the world. Imagine if, you know, if all the leaders 100%. In the world did float tanks and relaxed, like, maybe there'd be less violence, you know?
Especially these days. Come on, man. I mean, with everything going on, I mean, I think the whole world could float for a second.
For sure.
I mean,
what about
man,
you? How's your experience been?
Man, it was really interesting, Doc. I mean, it was one of those times. The first time I went, it was kind of like you. I was really tense and kind of like claustrophobic, basically, right? You're in there and you're like, you know, it's like, is someone going to lock me in here and kill me? You know, I don't know why I would think that, but that was what was going through my mind. But that second time, it was probably one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had. Because you're right, I was in a pod and it was, I'll give you a quick rundown of it. So I was flying back from Atlanta, had like 4 hours of sleep, horrible sleep and everything. And I was like, let me go float. And I was being ridiculous because I had a lunch meeting. I did a red eye and had a lunch meeting, you know. So I found a place down by LAX and I was like, let me just find a quick little float tank and rest, basically, just take a nap. And anyway, get there and it's a really great layout and it's that pod this time. It's not the scary chamber thing, how you mentioned earlier. And I'm in there relaxing and this time I'm like, all right, just not panic this time. Let's just kind of enjoy it. And so I'm floating and, you know, after I get past all the thoughts of someone's trying to kill me again, you know, someone's trying to, you know, drown me or whatever and lock me inside this pod, like my mind goes to a place where I didn't think it was going to go. I was like, okay, this feels good because there's no information coming in, right? There's nothing new. There's no light. There's no touch. There's no sound besides like a, you know, a very dull, like I think they were playing like some binaural type of beat or thing in the background. Anyway, long story short, I felt like I was in my mom's womb. That's really how weird it felt. And so I was in this place. I'm like, oh, this is comfortable. It's relaxed. It's dark. It felt fine. And then I shot up to the stars. Like, this is going to sound crazy. but I went to the stars, and I was overlooking the earth. And then I looked at my arms, my limbs. They didn't have arms. I just looked at myself, and I was glowing. And then I realized I was a star. And I started looking around. There were stars all around me. And it's the most connected I've ever felt in the world, my friend, from like floating. Wow. And then I told this to somebody else. And there's this whole psychological dreams that people have. It's called like a reverse birth, basically. So you kind of feel like you're in your mom's womb. And then you feel like you're just this light and like energy. That was kind of interesting. So I wasn't the only one to experience this. This happened to a whole bunch of people basically before. So yeah, I got that experience floating though. So it was really interesting.
Wow, so you had like a spiritual experience. You had sort of like almost like a hallucinogenic LSD type of experience where that you felt that oneness where you're kind of separate from your body and just feeling that connection, right? It's pretty amazing.
100%. No, 100%. That's exactly what it was. I felt like, and you know what was so wild is that like, you're right, you felt this oneness though. It was like you were with everyone, you guys were all working together, there was no like me versus them, and I couldn't even, I just saw myself glowing, so I was in a great place. And I saw everybody else glowing as well. But they weren't faces or anything. It wasn't that. It was just like you felt a great energy about yourself, and you felt like you were connected to everyone.
When you came back from that, were you back in the body floating again, or was that at the end, or what was that like?
You know what's funny? So I literally woke up. So I don't know how long that experience was. I don't know if it was 5 minutes or 55 minutes. I know I floated for an hour, you know, but I have no clue of time, and which was another interesting thing. It was like, you know, the whole experience felt very short, but it could have been a full hour. I had no clue of time, which is, So you know what? I mean, I'm really curious to kind of get a couple thoughts here too, because these are experiences that people don't talk about a lot in health, which is the spiritual side, right? Like the spiritual aspect when it comes to fitness. But I feel like that could be some of the missing pieces in this conversation as well. Like, you know, I mean, practicing yoga and doing things that will allow you to kind of have good breath work and just kind of find that oneness. Doesn't matter your background. I'm not kind of going that direction, but more so just having a more so spiritual experience and incorporating that into your overall well-being. You know, have you thought any about that at all? Have you any thoughts around how that might look into the whole health and wellness space or healthcare?
I do, and you know, in my practice, that's a big part of it. I don't show it as much on my videos as I like to, and I'm starting to kind of show more of that aspect. which is, you know, when someone comes to me with neck pain or back pain or whatever, you know, dysfunction going on in their body, 9 times out of 10, it's related to some either emotional trauma or some energetic disconnect they're having in their life that's manifesting as pain. And so with every new patient that comes in, we're diving deeper than just the physical. Nobody in this modern day and age, you know, comes in with purely a physical issue. It's always something much deeper than that. And a lot of my treatment, a lot of what we talk about in the treatments has to do with mind-body alignment. And on top of that, aligning that with your inner self, which some people call, you know, your spirit, some people call your soul, inner child, your essence, whatever name you want to call it based on your background, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about all three of those aspects because we're here more than just to grind and work and survive, right? We're here to create. We're here to express. We're here to... everybody has a creative talent that they're either not aware of or not sharing enough of. And when all of that is in alignment, mind, body, spirit, that's where you can be in the most optimal state of well-being. Athletes know this because when they play, they know how much of their mental is affecting their physical, right? And they know that if they are dealing with something that's not sitting well with them, they don't play well, you know? And so connecting all of that together, I think is the future in people's well-beings, especially now because we're so disconnected. We're so sitting behind computers and cell phones and technologically connected, but physically disconnected, spiritually disconnected. I think this conversation is going to be more needed going forward, where we can learn to connect with each other by, you know, connecting more within ourselves.
That's great, man. I mean, no, that's probably going to be clipped up for like some type of intro because honestly, I really feel like that's one of the things that is missing between this conversation, right? Because now I'm learning more about this energy work and people that are, it's obvious too. If you walk around tense and you're on your phone, you naturally go into this turtle shell type of posture that you probably correct all day. And it's something that I think we're all starting to kind of, that we can't mask anymore, right? And we do a lot of things that we can hide, and you can try to, you know, put on some good outfits over, but everyone sees it, you feel it, and it's one of those things where that people are ready to kind of at least have a conversation about it, if not at least explore some different ways that they can, you know, work through it.
A lot of my patients lately have been coming in, and it's so interesting, of the last 2 years during the pandemic, I think one thing really positive that's happened during that time period is it's forced people to stop and reevaluate their life. What has been working is just like brought up to the surface, whether it's a relationship, romantic relationship, work relationship, or your relationship to your career has been brought forward. So a lot of patients that come in with ailments that I'm working on, we end up connecting to, you know, are you happy doing what you're doing right now? Are you satisfied with, you know, your job? Or are you not spending enough time creating? Are you not spending enough time doing something that makes your soul sing, such as that, you know, that hobby that you used to do that you don't do anymore? You know, for some people that's writing, for some people that's art, for some people that's making stuff, for some people that's, you know, dance, whatever it is, everybody has something in them that we're meant to be expressing. We're meant to be here to share. You know, I read this is like a spiritual quote that said, you know, a mom that is happily cleaning the toilet is doing much more for the world than someone who's donating charity for superficial reasons. You see what I'm saying? It's like when you're living your purpose, when you're doing what your heart desires, that's what you're vibrating. You're raising your frequency, right? That raises the frequency of the world. That's how you contribute. That's how you change the world, by being authentic in your self-expression. And imagine you do that, and imagine your body's healthy. Imagine your mind is clear. Like, imagine how much happier you'd be in your life. And if everyone was to be like that, what kind of world would we be in? You know.
Dude, you're really touching some really hot buttons here for me. This is great, man, because I think that what people call joy is different than what joy is viewed at from the outside, right? Because, you know, some people will look at the mom cleaning the toilets and whatnot and think, oh, what a horrible time. But that's not their purpose, right? If they're not a mom, right? If they don't enjoy that. But the mom is dialed in. Right. And this is the work that like needs to be done, you know, and so it goes to this point that at least how I hear it is that no one could tell you what your joy looks like, you know, and it's like going to the gym. I think about this a lot. I try to use these metaphors when things are going on in life. You're like, when you get into this place that you enjoy going to the gym, there was a time I really enjoyed like just hitting the weights. I was in there all the time and I enjoyed it. And it was a painful process, but you enjoyed it. Like, if I stayed home, I hated it. You know, like, I really wanted to be in there. And that was my joy, for that season of my life. And when you're in that pocket, it doesn't feel good, but it feels horrible when you're not operating in it. You know what I mean? And it's not about what you're going through in the moment. It's about what the larger overall purposes that you're really trying to work towards. So anyway, yeah, man, I think that's just, I think it was a great analogy.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing of living a healthy lifestyle. It shouldn't feel like work, you know. It should feel like you do it because it makes you feel good. You eat healthy, mm-hmm. you eat, you know, these types of foods because it nourishes your body and your body is happy and you're listening to your body and your body's thanking you for it. You go to the gym or you do your workouts. Of course, there's some days you just have to will yourself to do it, but more often than not, it's you do it because it makes you feel good, right? Mm-hmm. And that extra other element now is to add that other piece, which is that self-expression piece, however that looks for you, because it's going to make you feel good. And that's the cool thing, I think, with social media is apart from the negative aspects of it, the positive aspects of it is we can go on there to self-express, to share, and to just put that energy out into the world of what we've created.
Well, and you know, I'm curious because you've obviously created something on like Instagram and TikTok. I mean, that is really working well. And is this something that you, whenever you started to kind of build out lots of your content, was there an overarching like theme that you came up with in advance, or was it just natural for you? Did you start posting on a regular basis? Was there a strategy that you had in place? Because I know a lot of people are trying to get there, but yeah, I'm just curious.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, first of all, it took me 3 years before I decided I'm going to put myself out there. For 3 years, I kind of debated it. For 3 years, I resisted. And then when I first started, I was making video talks, like kind of talks about lifestyle, talks about just if I had like an inspiring thought, I would then record and share. And then I kind of stopped because it's hard to have good content all the time consistently, right? So I kind of fell off. And then early this year, I decided, you know what, I'm just going to put myself out there. So on stories, I'm going to share like my personal life, my lifestyle. And then on my post, I'm going to share what I'm doing at the office, the treatments. And then I use the mic. And so, you know, with the adjustment sounds, it's kind of relieving to watch someone get adjusted and that like that relief that happens. So I think naturally, I have an easier time creating content because who doesn't like seeing that, you know? Who doesn't like seeing a good, you know, adjustment and just like, ah, that looks nice. So I started doing more and more of that consistently. So this year my strategy and plan was, let me just be more consistent in my content. But now I'm experimenting, playing around with how can I insert kind of our message today, like what we talked about, because I don't show the whole interaction in a treatment where I'm talking to the patient, when we're discovering this is not a physical ailment. This is because you are still... this is because you're worried about finance, or this is because you're worried about you haven't grieved properly of a loved one that's passed. That's a big one. You know, how much grief isn't talked about in society and processing that properly. And I'm starting to show more elements of that and kind of slide that in there so that people can be aware. But right now, I think even just the adjustment videos alone, there's people in the world seeing it and going, wow, I didn't even know that was possible. Or I didn't know that you can find relief through this method instead of just the traditional methods. And so I think I'm kind of spreading the knowledge and awareness of wellness care. And I think as I continue to grow, I think it's going to evolve, and maybe there's going to be more elements that I could show. So that's been
kind of 100%. Cool. 100%, man. I mean, no, there's definitely plenty of room for you to share this whole conversation. Plenty of it, especially I think is, and you can do however you want to do. But I always like to kind of just throw up some good ideas. Maybe you could take them and throw them in the trash can, please, at the garbage.
Please.
Or you can take them and just kind of run with me if you think it makes sense for you. The spiritual side, man, and you know exactly what you just said. I think is something that is so fitting for your personality. You got a calm about you, you have a peace about you, and you've always been that way. When I've dropped by, it's not like you're kind of like me, kind of ramped up on caffeine every once in a while. You're pretty you know, nice and even keel guy, at least the times that I've bumped into you, man. So I think that you could carry that whole message on easily, and bringing that peace and calmness into your content, and then just having conversations around how people could possibly deal with grief and deal with some other things that are tougher for other people to really process. I think you could probably handle those pretty easily, man. So just a thought, because if they're coming to you for a relief, having like a little touch of that actual, you know, how do you find peace in your life aspects, I think would be phenomenal, man.
Yeah, definitely. It's more than just coming in and getting in alignment and going out the door. You know, it's more than that. And that's been my approach from the start. So I'd like to share more of that piece going forward. And I really appreciate this talk, because I think it's becoming more popular now. People are becoming more aware of just health, wellness in general. And you're seeing people gravitate more towards what can I do at home? What can I do for myself? And it's just becoming more known. There's so many people out there who just have never been exposed to this stuff, you know, and, mm-hmm. and we're lucky because we've been in big cities and we've been around this all our life. So it's like natural for us. It's normal for us. We know exactly what to do. But you talk to somebody even just about working out, they don't have no clue like what to start, like where to start. Like if I go to the gym, like what do I do? You know, like, so.
Yeah. You know, it's something that I took for granted for a while, you know, because you live in certain cities and you get in certain bubbles and you think, oh, well, of course everyone knows this. No reason to have this conversation, right? But it's not what everybody knows, man. And so I think you're doing a great thing. You have to let people know how to find you too online. And please plug away so they can at least find your practice out there in Torrance.
Yeah, so my handle is Dr. Ernest Kim, DrErnestKim. I'm pretty much on all platforms right now, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. I'm just trying to put myself out there, trying to share different pieces on different platforms. I'm still trying to figure out what's the best way to go about doing that, but I feel like there's a different audience for each platform. And then our office, the name of our office is Back on Point Wellness. So same thing, same handle. And you can find us that way.
Awesome. Doc, man, this was great talking to you, man. I look forward to keep following everything that you're up to. I mean, I didn't know how much you were killing it on IG. I thought TikTok was doing really good. Oh, this is great content for TikTok.
Thank you.
It's even better, my friend, on IG. Yeah. So yeah, I definitely look forward to being linked on social.
Just the start, so thank you so much. Thanks for having me today. This is awesome. Yeah. Talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, bro.